Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. This brief half hour of meditation, which is truly a time of prayer, but in a sense the rest of our life, it too should be a time of prayer, of living in your presence, of doing your will, of carrying out that mission that you have entrusted to each one of us. Help us to make it truly fruitful. And we use your words when we ask that. You said to the apostles in the Last Supper, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." Lord, from all eternity, you chose me. You chose everyone, every single human being that has come into existence. You knew before the foundation of the world, from all eternity. You called each one into existence for a mission, for a purpose in your divine plan for mankind, which ends in eternal life with you. Each one of us has a calling, and it is, as you told the apostles, to go and bear fruit. And Lord, what is that fruit? We can consider it as twofold. In the first place, that fruit in ourselves, that fruit of love for God, because that will lead us to heaven and to happiness here. We read it on the first page of children's catechisms in answer to the question, why did God make me? God made me to know, love, and serve him on earth in order to be happy with him forever in heaven. And Lord, help us to bear that fruit, which is knowing you, loving you, serving you, doing your will, in order to find happiness here and happiness hereafter. And secondly, that fruit is not only within ourselves, but in those many people in whose lives you have put us, the members of our family, extended family, friends, colleagues of study or work, neighbors. You have given us that light, the light of Christ, to enlighten our surroundings, to bring you into the lives of many, and that fruit will endure too. The more they grow in knowledge of you and love for you, and the more they serve you, doing your will, the more they will find you in happiness here and happiness hereafter. This is the great mission to which you send us, as you sent out the apostles. We read in the Acts of the Apostles in the first chapter, "Lord, you are speaking to the apostles before you ascend into heaven, and you tell them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You shall receive power from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we have received that power. We have received the Holy Spirit first in our baptism. we receive the Holy Spirit and those sevenfold gifts, the state of grace, all of the infused virtues. We were given power in our baptism. That power was confirmed in the sacrament of confirmation. And we receive it constantly whenever we receive sanctifying grace. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is for this great mission to be your witnesses, not only in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, as was the beginning of the mission of the apostles, but to the end of the earth, and in our case, in our own generation, in our own place where we live and work, and to the end of time. But we are a link in the chain from the apostles that will extend until the end of time, and you need us, every single one of us, to carry out that mission, to be your witnesses. This is the role of the laity in the world, to engage in temporal affairs, the affairs of the world, and to order them according to the plan of God. Each one called to that mission, given a right and a duty to carry it out. This is not an easy task today. When we look at our world in this 21st century, and we compare it, for example, with the world just 50 years ago, it is vastly different. The world is drifting away from God. We see it in marriages, which used to stay together in the main, and now progressively are breaking up. We see it in the way of life of so many people who formerly went to Mass very regularly, and now far fewer do. And instead of living according to your law, doing your will, following the commandments, they find themselves more and more caught up in sin. When we look at television, what we would see 50 years ago was vastly different. Virtually every program was wholesome. It could be watched by the whole family. Now, at certain hours of the night, it is rare to find a program that is decent. What we can find on the internet, which didn't exist 50 years ago, and there is so much good there, and also so much harm, so much evil that has drawn so many souls away from you. Legislation in countries, progressively eroding Christian values. It is a difficult world, but Lord, it is in this world that you have chosen us. Other generations perhaps had it more easy. For us, it is more difficult. Perhaps a future generation will find it still more difficult. But here is where you have chosen us. Here is where you have called us and placed us to be your witnesses, to help us to transform this society, the people around us, for the better. You need us. It is not an easy mission. And you said that to the apostles when you called them. We can go back to the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, and after telling them that you had chosen them to go out and bear fruit, you added, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." As if to say, if you were worldly, like the others, they would love you, one of their own. You are not worldly. Yes, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You have a different set of values. You are a challenge to your contemporaries. You stand for something higher, for the nobility of man. his dignity as a son of God, as a decent human being, someone who wants marriage to stay together, someone who wants to live according to the moral law. And the world does not live that way. And they don't necessarily love us. And as you said, therefore the world hates you. And you go on. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all of this they will do to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me. Lord, this is the sad state of affairs today, as it was when you sent those apostles out. The task for them was exceedingly challenging. Who were they? They were 12 men, fishermen in the main, uneducated, not the leaders of society, in many ways looked down by the leaders of society. But they did go out, and amongst them the tax collector Matthew, despised by many. What did they do when you gave them that great mission? We go back to the Acts of the Apostles, when you have given them that mission to go out to all nations, and we read, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." What did they do? They went first to pray, with Mary and the other holy women, and with the brethren, to pray, to anchor themselves in you. And you had told the apostles that this was the way they would bear fruit. We go back to the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, and before telling them that you were sending them out to bear fruit, fruit that would abide, you told them, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Lord, if we want to bear that fruit that you want us to bear and that we want to bear, we must be very united to the vine, very united to you. And you go on, "If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you." Lord, help us to abide truly in you. But we might say, this is difficult. This takes time, and I'm very busy. I am a married man with children. I go to work. Sometimes I work long hours. I come home and I give myself to my family. How can I find time to pray? I am a student, another one will say, and I am very busy. And I am a housewife, and looking after the children occupies me all day. Yes, I want to bear fruit, but where will I find the time to spend with you? And when we consider it, there is time. There are 24 hours in the day. And we do find time for those other activities that we like. Lord, help us to find time especially for you, who are the most important in our life. Saint Jose Maria wrote to us shortly before he died, "The farther from God the environment in which you live, the more immersed in God you must be." And yes, this environment is far from you. We must be more immersed in God because of that. And you are there beside us, waiting for us. "Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest." We need a plan. Because when we make a plan, we find that there is time. There is always time for what is most important. And we all have a plan for our human secular activities. We get up at a certain time in the morning. We go through our daily ablutions. We eat 3 meals, perhaps even more. We don't miss those meals ordinarily because we need to nourish our body. We go to our work or our study, looking after the children, whatever each one of us does. We have certain hours that we know we must dedicate to those activities, and we dedicate that time to them. We have time for our family because we need to spend time with them. We have a time to go to bed because we need to get enough sleep to be awake, alert for the following day. We have a plan, and that plan undoubtedly includes time for recreation, for entertainment, relaxation, time for exercise, hopefully too. We need all of this, and this to have a healthy mind in a healthy body. And that is very important. And others have a plan. We consider those athletes, all athletes, and especially those preparing for an Olympic Games. Their one goal, and they are single-minded about it, is to make the Olympic team. And they train hard, and they have a plan. They get up at a certain time in the morning, often very early, to get to the pool, to get to the gym, to get to the training track. They put themselves through an arduous program of training. They really discipline themselves. They push themselves to the limit, to be fit, to do better in that discipline, whatever it may be. They watch their diet. They know they have to abstain from certain foods that they like very much. But in training for those Olympic Games or those championships, whatever it may be, they know they have to go without. And they are happy to do that for a higher goal. They get to sleep regularly so that they get all the sleep they need, all of the rest, to have the energy they will need the following day. St. Paul knows about those athletic competitions, and he writes to the Corinthians in his first letter in the 9th chapter, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." And he doesn't say anything against those athletes running, disciplining themselves to win that laurel wreath, that perishable wreath. But he reminds us that our wreath is imperishable, eternal life in heaven. And St. Paul goes on, "Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. St. Paul, too, disciplines himself spiritually. He lives penance. He lives prayer. He stays close to God so that he will not be disqualified, so that he can lead others. And Lord, you want us, like St. Paul, to lead others, to be your witnesses, to bring you into the lives of many. And for that, we need to find the time. St. John Paul II, speaking to priests and religious in Ireland, said, "We get so caught up in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. We must find time, we must make time to be alone with the Lord in prayer." And Lord, that applies to us. We must find time to be alone with you, that we have a daily plan of spiritual exercises, just as we have a daily plan for our human secular exercises, and athletes do. And what will be the main elements of this plan? Firstly, as in our human affairs, to get up on time. What St. Jose Maria called the heroic minute, to get up on the dot when the alarm goes off, so that we begin that day well. The Curie of Ars once said that the devil said that if he could have the first minute of the day, he was assured of all the rest. If we sleep in, if we press the snooze button, we are off to a bad start. We're not happy with ourselves. Conversely, when we get up, we will begin the day well. We have that zeal. We have that joy. And we begin all of our other activities better. And then we need times for prayer. For mental prayer, as we are doing now, meditation. If we could find 15 minutes each day for that loving conversation with you, praying about ourselves, about our family, about our work or study, how to help our friends, praying about the virtues in which we need to grow, the defects that we need to uproot, using whatever books can be helpful, those three books that St. Jose Maria wrote for our mental prayer, The Way, Furrow, and The Forge, over 3,000 short points to read and consider, a great help in our prayer. Or we might take the scriptures, or our spiritual reading book. But Lord, if we could find 15 minutes a day for mental prayer, it would make such a difference. The Holy Rosary, that prayer that Christian tradition has given us over the last 1,000 years, that Mary herself has recommended and urged us to say, that powerful prayer in which we meditate on your life as seen through the eyes of Mary, that beautiful prayer of the Rosary. And if we could say that every day, and many will say more than one rosary a day, but at least one, it would be very helpful. The Angelus at noon. Again, a very short prayer, contemplating the events of your incarnation. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. A brief pause in the middle of the day to come back into your presence, to reflect on how we have lived the morning and make resolutions for the afternoon. Spiritual reading. If we could do 15 minutes of spiritual reading, including the reading of the New Testament, what a difference that would make. There are so many good spiritual reading books, from the classics that go back many centuries to modern ones, modern authors that have so much to tell us in our own generation. To make that brief pause of another 15 minutes where someone speaks to us. And as the saints have said, when we pray, we talk with God. When we read, God talks with us. We need that daily intake for our spiritual life. the Mass, especially the Mass, the center and root of our interior life, as St. Jose Maria wrote, and as the Second Vatican Council took up in the decree on the ministry and life of priests, that the Mass be truly the center and root of our interior life. The center because the whole day focuses on the Mass and revolves around it. The root because through the Mass and the Eucharist and Communion, we receive that daily nourishment of our soul. If we could attend Mass every day, or at least more often during the week, what a difference it would make. We need that daily nourishment of our soul, which is the Eucharist. And through it, as the root, we are anchored in the soil of God. And Lord, as you said in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. We are united with you. Then we will bear much fruit. We are branches truly united to the vine. Then our light will burn more brightly. We will be that leaven in the dough, that salt of the earth. We will have a very positive impact because we are another Christ, truly anchored in you. And then we come to the end of the day and we do our daily examination of conscience. To spend those few minutes looking back over the day that is just ending, giving thanks for all of the good deeds and the blessings, with an act of contrition for our failings, looking at those various areas of how we lived our daily plan of spiritual activities, how we used our time, how we did our work, how we related to others in the family and outside, how much concern we had for souls, how much penance we did because we need mortification, self-denial too. And then we can go to bed with all of that peace of soul. We have found a little bit of time to spend with you. We are more united with you, and we have that peace of soul. And then we rise again the following day at the right time and begin another day in your service. Lord, we will be far more effective witnesses if we have a daily plan of activities of union with you. We have those other plans. Let us have a daily spiritual plan too. To be that bright light, to bring you into the lives of many. And then, just as the athlete has a coach, we should have a spiritual director, someone, perhaps a lay person, a priest, who knows us, who is experienced in the spiritual life, and who can guide us on our spiritual journey, encourage us when we are getting discouraged, when we are flagging, pick us up, encourage us, guide us, advise us on how to pray better, how to do more penance, what book to read. All of those helps that spiritual guide can give us. Then we truly grow in holiness, in union with you. We are branches united to the vine, and we will bear much fruit. We will be truly your witnesses in this difficult generation in which we live. We are so much needed today. And we go to Our Lady. Mary, you spent time each day in prayer too. You were that good Jewess. And you prayed at those times of prayer for the Jews. You went to the synagogue every Saturday. You went to Jerusalem for the great feasts, especially the Passover. Help us to be very anchored in God, very united to the vine as you were. You brought the greatest fruit into the world, the Word of God himself, who took flesh in your womb. Help us to be united with Jesus through our daily plan so that we too can bear much fruit and bring him into the world as you did. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions. affections and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.